we will get into it. But I hope you're happy to be here today. If you're happy, let me hear you praise the Lord. Come on, if you're happy, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Come on. God is good. And all the time, God is good. My friend was asked, how good was God? And when he searched his vocabulary and could not find any adjectives, he simply said, God is better than Campbell's soup. God is good. Amen, everybody. So just in case you're sitting down there and your vocabulary is bereft of words to describe God, just look at somebody and say, Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. As they say, there is no place like this place, anywhere near this place. Therefore, if there was ever going to be a place, then this has got to be the place. What does the church say? Amen, amen. A word of welcome to friends and members here from other places of worship with whom we're acquainted. We say hello to you and welcome you to the worship experience today. Amen. Amen. All right, of course, my most beautiful better half is in the house. Amen. I shared with the brethren this morning that the last time I spoke here, she watched me from her hospital bed. But today she's seated right up front where she can see me and I can see her. Put your hands together for goodness of God, everybody. We praise God for his goodness. Amen. Amen. She's sitting right up front. She's smiling at me. Just the smile she gives me that says, honey, it's going to be all right. Amen. It's not the smile that you get. It's just the smile I get. Amen, everybody. So if you see a smile of the church, that's not the one I got. I praise the Lord. Amen, everybody. Amen, amen. I tend to preach better when she's here. So hopefully that translates into reality today. Amen. Amen and amen. Of course, we say thanks to your pastor in his absence for his invitation to share today from this sacred desk. And I trust that wherever he is today, that the blessings of the Lord will be on him. Say thanks to Elder Gross for Elder Williams. Elder Williams for his introduction today. Amen. All right, with that said, there is indeed a word from the Lord. Amen. There is indeed a word from the Lord. So may I call your sermonic attention today to the book of the Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. And I will read in your hearing from verse 11 to verse 22. The book of the Exodus chapter 14. And I will read in your hearing from verse 11 to verse 22. And these verses will form the context of our sermonic discourse this afternoon. And so we invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. When you have found it in your Bibles, please say amen. If you're still searching for it, say praise the Lord. All right, somebody's still searching for it. Allow us to proceed until you catch up with us. The Word of the Lord reads from the New King James Version, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod, and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his armies, chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came to between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and a darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Verse 21, when Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea unto dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. The waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Lord hath already added a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. Allow me to speak to you today from the topic, Stand Still and Still Stand. Stand still and still stand. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Father, we pray that you will speak now because we are committed to listening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The servant of the Lord assures us that we indeed have nothing to fear for the future, except we forget the way that God has led us in the past. Now, inevitably, because we are mere humans, we are prone to wonder, as the songwriter says. Sometimes their feelings of doubts and apprehension may arise in our minds. But we are reminded that God has been faithful and that God is faithful. Indeed, the songwriter declares, "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." Yet, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, with all the available evidence of God's providence in our lives, sometimes God's people are found suffering from spiritual amnesia. For we ride a spiritual high when God comes through for us, don't we? We sing praises, we lift holy hands, we declare there is no God like Jehovah. We declare who is like our God, there is no God like him. Can I talk to somebody today? And we declare that God is good, but so soon as things change, as our circumstances change, then our worship becomes worry. Our praises are transformed into complaints, and our joy becomes mourning. Is the church still with the preacher today? Because when things are good, then God is good. But when things are not so good, then we're not so sure. We complain like everybody else. We murmur like everybody else. But I wonder how many people know today that it is still true that God's way is not our way. And God's thoughts are not our thoughts. In fact, we're told in Romans all the depths and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways are past finding out. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, even though your circumstances may change, his godness does not change. Even though things may change, God is still God. That is why we declare he's God in the good times and he's God in the bad times. He's God in the daytime and he's God in the nighttime. He's God in the mountain and he's God in the valley. And when things go wrong, he still makes them right. Can I talk to the church today? He's God and he's God all by himself. There is no circumstances that can prevent him from being God. Can I talk to the church today? So when everything else in your life is changing, I propose to you that God remains your one constant. Is the church still here today? Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed the experience of the children of Israel. For 400 years, they have been enslaved in Egypt. For God did prophesy to Abraham that your children will be strangers in a land that will not be theirs. They'll be enslaved and afflicted for 400 years. But after 400 years, I will come through and I will deliver them. Can I talk to you today? God made a promise, ladies and gentlemen, that in time, when the time is right, when the time is appointed, that he will come through and that he will deliver and liberate the children out of bondage. Well, the Bible declares that the time had come. The time had come and God sent his deliverer in the form of a man named Moses. You've heard of him, haven't you? He sent his deliverer in the form of Moses and said, Moses, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But indeed, we know Pharaoh, don't we? That Pharaoh is a man that needs to learn the hard way before he obeys God's will. The Bible said that Pharaoh decided that he would not let God's people go, and God had to afflict him and his land with 10 different plagues before Pharaoh finally gave in to the will of God. And then on that fateful night, ladies and gentlemen, when the final of the 10 plagues were about to strike the land of Egypt, Moses said to the people of Israel, put the blood over your doorposts. And when the avenging angel sees the blood, he will pass over you. Can I talk to the church today? And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said that the blood was placed over the doorpost. And while there was weeping and wailing all through Egypt, wherever the blood was placed on a doorpost, the avenging angel would pass over. Is anybody in the church for the preacher? And on that night, ladies and gentlemen, God delivered his people out of Egypt, telling us that even though it took a long time, but God was still on time. Can I talk to the church? That indeed, justice delayed is not justice denied. And if God promises, then God will fulfill his promise. The Bible said that God is leading them out of Egypt. God is leading them to the Canaan land. He's leading them to the promised land. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it would take approximately 5 days from Egypt to Canaan should they go through the land of the Philistines. But the Bible said that God decided that he would not lead them through the land of the Philistines, lest peradventure, when they see war, they turn back and head back to Egypt. Is anybody in the church or the preacher? Here is my first point to you today. The first one is this. The easy way is not always the best way. I said the easy way is not always the best way. It was shorter to go through the land of the Philistines. In 4 or 5 days, they would have arrived. But God knows his people. God knows what they can take. God knows what they can bear. And God knows that if he led them through this way, they would not make it to the land of Canaan. Please note, ladies and gentlemen, that God's business is not to make your way easy. God's business is to take you home to glory. Is anybody in the church with a preacher? Ladies and gentlemen, God will not put more on you than you can bear. That's why the prayer is said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is anybody in the church with me? Sometimes you may think that you know what is the best way for you. But God looks at your journey. God looks at your route. God looks at your path. And God says, I will not take you there lest you lose your soul. For somebody know today that this was the fellow that you wanted to marry, but God says, recalculating. Can I talk to somebody today? Somebody knows today that this is a job you should have had, but God looked at your route and says, I'm recalculating. Can I talk to the church? Because God knows that if you head down that way, that you would not make it to glory, and God's business is to save your soul. Is anybody in the church with a preacher? God knows the difficulty they would face. So God says, I will not put more on you than you can bear. Indeed, there have been slaves in the land of Israel, in the land of Egypt, for 400 years. They have never seen war. Can I talk to you today? They've never seen war. There were approximately 600,000 to 1 million of them, including women and children and cattle. They were not prepared for the battles that they would face from the Philistines. And even though God could take them through it, God still decided that their faith was not strong enough to take them here, so I would take them to a different direction. God knows what you can handle. God knows what you can stand. And sometimes when we think we have it down, God says, I'm going to send you in a different way. Sometimes we are disappointed because we thought we've already arrived, but then God says, I'm going to recalculate you and I'm going to send you in a completely different direction. Is anybody in the church with a preacher? Hear me today, ladies and gentlemen. The easy way is not the best way. For while man proposes, God disposes. Man may act, but God counteracts. Man may rule, but God overrules. Can I talk to the church? And while you may have your plan, God still have the master plan. Is anybody in the church with me today? We don't always know what is best for us. We don't always know what is good for us. But because we are children of God, is anybody in the church with me today? Then God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans to bring you an expected end. Is anybody in the church for the preacher? And so today, ladies and gentlemen, I stop by to tell you that sometimes God will have to recalculate in order to get you to a different path so that you can arrive at the destination that God has designed for you. No, that's not the job for you. No, that's not the fellow you should marry. Can I talk to the church? That's not the girl you should marry. Oh, that's not the house you should have. Is anybody in the church with a preacher? Don't you know that God, here it is. Sometimes, even with good things, with what kind of things, everybody? Sometimes even with good things, God still decides you shouldn't have it. Because God knows that if you get this good thing, which is an upgrade over what you now have, then folk won't see you at church. I said, God knows that he will only hear from you when you need something. You see, right now, God hears from you all the time because you cannot live without him holding your hand. God knows that he hears from you all the time because trouble assails you on every side. Things are not going the way you want it, and you have to depend on the Almighty God. But if God should give you what you're asking for, then God knows that he won't hear from you anymore. You won't turn up in church anymore. But because God wants to save you, sometimes he has to deprive you just so he can save you. The Bible said, God said, I'm not sending you in that direction. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn and I want you to encamp by the Red Sea. Is anybody in the church? I said, I want you to go by the Red Sea. That is where I want you to go. And that is the direction, that is the path I want you to take. In that moment, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said that God caused a cloud to move in front of them. Can I talk to the church? You see, here it is. Moses was their leader out of Egypt until this point. But what God was about to ask them to do was above Moses' pay grade. Moses could not. Is anybody in the church with me? So God said, I'm going to ask you to do something that would make no sense to anybody else. Because I don't want you to take the blame, I'm going to move you out of the way and I'm going to put myself. I said, I'm going to put myself in front of this. Is anybody in the church with me? And so instead of you leading, I will be leading by a cloud and a fire by night. Is anybody in the church with me today? Because God knows that sometimes he'll ask God's people to do some things, but because people don't understand, they'll give you a hard time. So God said, you move out of the way and let me take this myself. And God put himself in front of them. Ladies and gentlemen, by the time they got there, they began to murmur They began to complain. Can I talk to you? They began to murmur and they began to complain. Here's my second point. My second point is this. When fear is maximized, faith is minimized. I said when fear is maximized, then faith is minimized. You see, they had the Egyptians behind them. They had the mountains beside them. And they had the Red Sea in front of them. There was nowhere for them to go. They were paralyzed by fear. They began complaining to Moses. I don't think you heard me. I said they began complaining to Moses. Yet it was God that was leading them in a pillar of cloud. Yet they began complaining to Moses. I said they began complaining to Moses. Yet God was leading them by a pillar of cloud. It is God that led you to this point. Yet we're complaining to somebody else. Is anybody in the church with me today? If God brings you to it, then God will bring you through it. Is anybody in the church with me today? And God will not bring you to it unless he has a way out of escape. Can I talk to the church today? Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes God will bring you to the impossible so that he can extrapolate a praise out of you. Is anybody in the church with a preacher? God led them by the way of the Red Sea. There was nowhere for them to go. Can I talk to you? I said there was nowhere for them to go. God put them in the difficult so that they became disarmed. There was nothing that they could do but depend on God. They couldn't go back. They couldn't go forward. They couldn't go sideways. There was nothing that they could do to help themselves. For here it is, we often try to find ways to help ourselves when we are in trouble. But God decided in this case to move every situation with which they could help themselves. And God said, I'm going to put you in the impossible so that your only way out is to depend on the Almighty God. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? The Bible said that God led them by the way of the Red Sea. And they began to complain to Moses. But ladies and gentlemen, remember, it was God who initiated the escape from Egypt. And if God can bring you safely this far, then surely he's good enough to bring you the rest of the way. Is anybody in the church with me? God, ladies and gentlemen, often shares with us his plan even before the plan is actualized. For God said to Moses, the reason I am bringing them this direction is that Pharaoh, can I talk to you? I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He will come after you. And then when I have delivered you, then the Egyptians will know that there's a God up in heaven. God decided to share his plan even before it is actualized. You see, sometimes when we find ourselves in difficulty, we think it is all about us. But if we only knew that what God is trying to do is to get some glory for himself. And in order to get some glory for himself, he has to put you in a position where people know that it is only God that could bring you out. God told Moses, the Egyptians that are following you, I know they're going to follow you. I hardened his heart. That's why he's following you. Is anybody in the church with me? But he can only come this far. Can I talk to the church today? I said he can only come this far. And here it is. We often think that because we are on a God-directed path, then it means that we must not have adversity. The fact that you're on a God-directed path does not mean the absence of adversity. In fact, that is the time when the devil will come at you. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you're on your way to glory, you must by necessity run into the devil. Let me talk to this side. I know what's happening over here. I said if you're on your way to glory, elder, you must by necessity run into the devil. If you don't run into him yet, you need to check your compass. Check your GPS. Can I talk to the church today? You may need to recalculate, because the only way you don't run into him is if both of you are going in the same direction. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? As long as you're going in opposite direction, you've got to run into him. And when you run into him, it is not going to be good morning, how are you doing? It is going to be a battle. It is going to be a fight. And sometimes you'll come out of it limping. Sometimes you'll come out of it injured. But God will bring you out. Is anybody in the church? Sometimes you'll come out of it battle scarred, but my scars are my testimony that God bring me in it, but God brought me out of it. Here it is. Here's what you also need to know. Egyptians can't chase you until you're out of Egypt. Oh, hallelujah. The reason they chase you is because they don't have you. So when the Egyptians start chasing you, you need to lift your hand and shout, hallelujah, praise God. You're only coming at me because you don't have me. Is anybody in the church with me today? But come if you want, run if you want, because the songs of the harder they come. Is anybody in the church with me today? The reason they're coming at you is because they don't have you. And praise the Lord, because God got you out of Egypt. You can't be afraid of Egyptians. Their duty is to run you down. Their duty is to chase you. Their duty is to discourage you. Their duty is to... Is anybody in the church with me today? You cannot complain about them. You got to give God glory for them. Because each time you see them, you know you're no longer in there. Here it is. The moment the devil don't have you is the moment the devil comes at you. Is anybody in the church? And here it is. The reason he comes at you is not purely because he doesn't have you, but because he knows what God can do with you and through you. I don't think I have a church. I said he knows. Here it is. You see, when he had you, he knows the hell he wreaked with you. He knows how he used you to become a turmoil in people's lives. He knows how much he used you to talk about people, scandalize people's name. But he knows that now that God have you, can I talk to the church? I said, now that God have you, the same mouth you used to talk about people is the same mouth you used to preach the gospel, to sing songs of glory, to tell somebody about Jesus. And the devil is scared of what God can do with you. So when they are coming at you, lift up your hand and shout, hallelujah. They can't come at you unless they don't got you. Is anybody in the church with me today? And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. They began to complain because they became afraid. I said they became afraid that they're going to die where they were. But God, I wish I had a church. God just showed you 2 weeks ago. God just showed you just yesterday that he can bring you out of slavery. God just showed you that he can keep Pharaoh quiet. God just showed you that he can take care of you. If he can do it now, he can do it now. So here's a challenge. Oftentimes our experience with God is just a passing reference. But our experience with God must be more than a passing reference. You know, we come to church, we testify God was good. Your experience with God has to be more than just a passing reference. Your experience with God must be your point of reference. I don't complain when everybody else is complaining. Because yesterday when I needed food on my table, it showed up when my bills were due. When pain was rocking my body, he sent healing down to me. when I was lost in sin and sorrow, he died to set me free so I would know how much he loves me. I can tell you what he's gonna do because I've seen what he has done. So here it is, here it is. Because fear is maximized, then faith is minimized. Is anybody here today? When fear is maximized, faith is minimized. If you are fearful, then it is difficult for you to act on faith. Let me give you an example. Last December, my wife and I, we went to Canada. We're celebrating our fourth wedding anniversary, and we decided to do a winter vacation. Is anybody in the church? Yes, we went to the winter vacation. So we were invited to a place called Blue Mountains. It's a ski resort. And they invited us to ski. Yes, we went skiing. Two black people on the ski hill. We went skiing. When we got to the ski mountain, the instructor brought us on a little hill. And the instructor said to us, in order for you to get down to the bottom of the hill without falling, the first thing you must do is that you must bend your knees. You got to bend your knees and keep your body upright. Then she said, while you are going down, you're going to feel as if you're about to fall. When you feel as if you're about to fall, you're going to be tempted to stand straight. The moment you stand straight is the moment you fall. I wish I had a church. Is anybody in the church with me? So she said to me, you're going to feel afraid of falling, but I want you to keep confidence in the technique that I've given you. If you keep the technique, I guarantee you that you will make it to the bottom of the hill. Can I preach to somebody today? Here it is. What God is saying to me today is this. You've got to keep your knees bended. I said, keep your knees bended. When times are difficult, bend them knees. When times are hard, bend them knees. Sickness in your body, bend them knees. People talking about you, bend them knees. You can't find a job, bend them knees. Keep your knees bended. And when you feel you're about to fall, keep them bended just the same. Because as long as your knees are bended, you will make it to, I said you will make it to glory land. Can I tell you? Can I tell you that I fell a few times? And each time that I fell, it was because I became afraid of falling. Wish I had a church. I said when I became afraid of falling, then I tried to fix the problem. So I stood straight. Can I talk to the church? But if you're afraid of falling, don't stand straight. Because the moment you stand straight, you're standing in your own strength. And that is the time you fall. Can I talk to the church today? You don't have the option of standing in your own strength. Just keep them knees bended. Stay on your knees. Don't let anybody discourage you. Don't let anything pull you down. Don't let anything. Is anybody in the church with a preacher? You got to learn to stay on your knees. And as long as you're on your knees, then glory will be yours. Is anybody in the church with me today? You will make it to glory. So here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. The only time I fell was when I became afraid. Stay with me. When I became afraid of falling, I began to lose faith in the technique. Because I lost faith in the technique, I disobeyed the technique. When I disobeyed the technique, that is when I fell. Is anybody in the church? When darkness surrounds you, can I talk to you? When difficulties assail you, when your Christianity is being challenged, when your faith is tested, and you feel that things are falling apart, you are going to be tempted to lose confidence in the technique. And the technique is to stay on your knees, to walk in obedience to God's will, to keep praying, to keep trusting, to keep believing. Is anybody in the church with the preacher? And to be obedient. But the moment you lose faith, then your fear is maximized, your faith is minimized, and you begin to disobey. Here it is. In all of Israel history, the only time that they fell into bondage. Faith is different from my. Is anybody in the church with me? God just gonna give you just what you need in order to straighten you up. And so I said, Jesus, if there are some wrinkles on my character, press, Jesus. Don't stop pressing until I've been straightened out, until there are no wrinkles left, until I've been perfected, until I come up to the statue of Jesus Christ. Press. According to the clock on the wall, I got 5 minutes, so let me preach. Here it is. Here's my third point. A change of direction does not mean a change of destination. I said a change in direction is not necessarily a change in destination. You see, God is leading them to Canaan. God decided to change the route. God decided to change the direction. But he's leading them to the same destination. Is anybody in the church with me? I said he's leading them to the same destination. And here it is, when God is determined to lead you to your final destination, then there's nothing that can stop him. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? The fact that he changes direction does not mean that you won't make it to your destination. Here it is. The Red Sea before them. Can I talk to you? Pharaoh closing in behind them. Mountains on either side. There's nowhere to go. But God said, you're going to Canaan. I said, God said, I'm taking you to Canaan. Is anybody in the church? So if God gonna get me to Canaan, then God gonna have to make a way, either through the mountains or through the sea. It doesn't matter how he does it, but God, you have got to get me there. Is anybody in the church with me? So the first thing that God said to them is this. God said, Moses said to them, stand still. Hallelujah. Can I talk to somebody? Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Can I talk to the church? Here it is. Here's what Moses is saying. Stand still. In other words, don't do anything. Don't try to fix this. Don't try to work it out. Don't try. Is anybody in the church with me? Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because the Egyptians you see today, you will not see them again forever. Is anybody in the church with me today? I just want you to stand still. Here it is. Stand still means that you ought to stand upright. Stand still means that you ought to stand resolute. Stand still means that you ought to stand in confidence. Your shoulders square, your chin up, and you're looking. Is anybody in the church with me? Stand still means that you're prayerful in your heart. Stand still means that you're anticipating God to do the spectacular. Is anybody in the church with me today? But in order for you to see the salvation, you've got to stand still. Here it is. Some would be tempted to run. Some would be tempted to do something. Some would be tempted to disbelieve, but Moses said, stand still. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? And the reason you ought to stand still is that you can see. If you don't stand still, you can't see. And here's why you need to see. What is about to happen, you have never seen before. You thought you see some things. You thought you saw some things in Egypt. You thought you saw plagues. You thought what God is about to do. Can I talk to the church? You have never seen it before. before. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. So you just need to stand still. And not only should you stand still, but when the smoke clears and the dust settles, you ought to be still standing. Is anybody in the church with a preacher today? I said you ought to be still standing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, God is about to do something you have never seen before. You can't miss it. If you miss it, is anybody in the church? So there's a Red Sea before them. And God said to Moses, here it is. God said to Moses, Moses, tell the children at this point to go forward. Go forward where? Toward the Red Sea. Is anybody in the church with a preacher? I said, go forward toward the Red Sea. Can I talk to the church? Here it is. Here it is. When Red Seas are before you, don't argue with Red Seas. Let me break it down this way. Red Seas, Red Seas fall within the category of matter. Is anybody in the church? Matter. We said matter is solid, liquid, and gas. So it's fall within the category of matter. If it is matter, it exists on the time-space continuum. Which means it is only there, elder, because somebody put it there. The person who put it there is the same person who put you here. Is anybody in the church with me? So when Red Seas are before you and you want Red Seas to move out of your way, don't talk to Red Seas. Just see if you can find the person who put it there. And turn to the person and say, Jesus, my Jesus, I heard that you put the Red Sea here. I need to make it to Canaan. But Lord, your Red Sea is standing in my way. If you could just talk to your Red Sea so it could make a... I've exhausted my time. Please stand with me, everybody. I've exhausted my time, but I know there's somebody today. I said, I know there's somebody today who want to say, Lord, please help me to stand still. Please help me, great God, that when things are assailing around me, that I can stand still. So that when Jesus comes, I can still stand on the sea of glass. Is there somebody want to say, Lord, help me to stand still today? Oh, Lord, please help me to stand still today. Maybe there's somebody who want to say, Lord, I thought this was the direction you wanted me to go in, but you have recalculated. I complained about it. I murmured about it, but I did not realize that you had something better in store for me. Lord, give me the faith to trust that you have my best intentions of heart. If that is you, just raise your hand right where you are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Someone will say, Pastor, please pray for me today. Please pray for me today that by God's grace, I'll commit my life fully to Jesus Christ. I won't just be a church goer. I won't just be somebody who turn up at church, but I'll be committed to Jesus. I'll serve him because he's my Lord and my master. And when he comes, I want to be saved. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, great God, for salvation full and free. We thank you, great God, for the blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. We thank you today, Heavenly Father, that you're still redirecting the lives of your children. We thank you that you're still overruling and you're still ruling over the lives of your children. God, help us to be faithful. God, help us to be true. God, help us to stand resolute, that when the winds around us are blowing, we can be resolute, knowing that by the grace of God, if we stand still here, then we will still stand on the sea of glass. We pray for every hand that went up today. Consecrate us now to your service, Lord, by the power of your grace divine. May all our souls look up with steadfast hope, and may our wills become lost in thine. Oh God, I pray that when it is all said and done, you'll take the glory for yourself. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.